human resources and employment law advice on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with the HR Suite, now part of NFP. Providing brokering expertise in commercial insurance, employee benefits, HR and health and safety.
Yeah, Caroline Reedy is with us of the HR Suite, now part of NFP and Aon Company. Caroline, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again this month.
Good morning and congratulations. 16 years, Gerry. That's some achievement. Well done.
It is indeed. I was as surprised as anybody else when I learned it this morning. But there you go,
Caroline. Very good. Nice milestone.
It is indeed. Now, speaking of working, Caroline, what is the... And we had a listener this morning suggesting that the current fuel crisis should lead to employers being more amenable to allowing people work from home, and I'm sure they are, because they're as conscious as everybody else is the cost of getting their staff to and from work and what they're going through. But what are the rights in the situation? I know they've changed in the last number of years. There's been legislation to do with just at least discussing this with your employer, but where are we?
Yeah, so I suppose there's a few kind of key things. First of all, in the last few days, particularly the end of last week, we were in a lot of limbo. There was obviously fuel stations closed, blockades in place, etc. So to me, that's not normal in terms of that's an exceptional scenario. So in situations like that, really important that the employer and employee have really good engagement. So for example, the employee saying, listen, is there any chance I can work from home on these days? Because I'm afraid to come in. I'm afraid that I could be blocked. I'm afraid I might run out of fuel, etc. And to me, that's really important that the employer, where it's feasible and where it's practicable for those specific roles that can be done, that that is accommodated, because that's not a normal request to work from home. So I think we kind of, I suppose, put that as a separate scenario because it deserves to be as such. And then you're dead right. There is new legislation now where employees can request the right to work remotely. And the government did a review of that legislation, which is built into the legislation that review would happen. And ultimately, they've said that they're going to potentially look at enhancing it, but not limited to a case that the employee is entitled to working from home. So at the moment, you have the right to request to work remotely, and your employer has to respond to your request in writing within 4 weeks. But a lot of employees will say that, you know, just because they come back and say no, that they've no further fallback outside of that, you know. So a lot of employees, when that review was done, flagged that as a concern for them. So a lot of employers have their own policies now in place in terms of what roles might be, you know, suitable, how might that work, etc. And we've definitely seen, Gerry, a lot of companies have shifted away from, you know, fully remote or, you know, 2 days in the office to potentially back to 3 days. So we've definitely seen in the last 12 months a definite shift in terms of more in-office activity.
Yeah, and that is part of it for various reasons. But there isn't any force majeure here, is there? There isn't any, look, I can no longer afford to come into work, so you need to allow me to work from home. It's a discussion at best.
It is, yeah, because force majeure only applies when your child or somebody you're caring from, and you know, somebody within your household or your parent, etc. In other words, it's a fight or flight. Your presence is indispensable, and that's an emergency that might occur. So that would be force majeure. You get 3 days in a 12-month period, or up to 5 days over 36 months. In this scenario, I suppose it's likely that this fuel cost issue is going to go on a while, regrettably so, but it doesn't look like it's going to get resolved anytime soon. So I think this is one, and understandably for a lot of people, it's an additional cost burden that they didn't have to concern themselves with before. Interestingly, Gerry, we've also heard the other side of that, where people are saying, it's costing me to heat my home from working from home. It's actually cheaper for me to go into work than to be at home now because of the cost of fuel, so, and the cost of heating. But obviously that's going to depend on where your proximity is to your office, etc. Yeah. But it's a real concern for people, and one I empathise greatly with, because, you know, no one saw this coming in terms of, you know, being able to plan for it in advance. So I definitely think employers need to go back to the drawing board to say, okay, what is fair and reasonable, and what can we do in line with business requirements?
Donald Trump never told us his plans before he decided to go off and do it, Caroline, I suppose.
He probably didn't really have it until last minute by the sounds of things either, Jerry, isn't it true?
That's for sure, that's for sure. A listener gets in touch, and this is an interesting one, and it kind of, I suppose, relates to something we might have talked about before when it comes to storms and major issues that are impacting people's travel. If an employee can't get to work, i.e. no diesel or petrol, no local forecourt is open, which is what we saw, that's particularly on Friday, I'd imagine, does an employer still have to pay them for that day if they can't make it in? My tank's empty.
Fabulous question. So if your the business is opened and it's business as usual, then you're obliged to come in. If you don't come in, you can take a day's annual leave in agreement with your employer. But ultimately, it's not a day that you get paid. If instead, though, the business closed and didn't open that day, you are entitled to be paid. So ultimately, it depends on which scenario for your listener applies in that situation.
That is, you know, the scenario. You have to talk, as always, you have to talk to your employer about it. But if you're stuck, you still have to try in an effort to make it to work at your
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Which is tough. I mean, like, you know, for a lot of people, the blockades meant that, you know, they were adding on significant time, but also significant stress. And, you know, so I think trying to come to maybe a compromise, you know, is probably best for that one day, if it was only one day. And I think treat differently than the going forward, because I think that's the difference, you know.
Yeah. This would have been maybe a bigger question, Caroline, if this had lasted longer, if, you know, there was more full courts, forecourts closed for longer and real problems, it would have had a massive impact on employers and employees. So does that underline how important it is that you have open communication on either side when these things happen?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, the fact that schools went back on Monday, you know, if that had been
if that hadn't happened.
Hadn't happened, you know, that would have added additional stress to people as well. So again, it's like when we're dealing with, you know, adverse weather, you know, ultimately most companies now have a policy on how to deal with adverse weather. Unfortunately, it's adverse conditions now is expanding into that. But I always think be reasonable in your dealings, because especially when it's a once-off, and please God, it won't be more than a once-off. You know, once it's a once-off, I think, you know, you can do a lot. Whereas if it's something that's more frequent than that, that's where it really becomes a real challenge.
Yeah. What are the are there any responsibilities of the employer in getting the employee to work? And the reason I ask that is, listeners, is if an employee can't get to work, what about formally organising car sharing in the workplace, carpooling? Is that something employees need to do themselves, or would the employer have any sort of a role in that?
Yeah, like I suppose we saw, you know, in the really horrific weather when the snow, etc., that, you know, carers and, you know, St. John of God's, you know, the John's Ambulance, etc., were, you know, the Defence Forces, etc., were called in. Please God, it'll never come to that again, but it's likely it will in those kind of situations. But the carpooling, you need to be careful from an insurance point of view if you're nominating somebody to drive other colleagues.
And Alistair mentioned that as well. If you're trying to help people out, then can you be caught with insurance if something goes wrong, and what needs to happen there?
So I think instead, obviously carpooling is encouraged in every situation for the benefit of the environment and everything that goes with it. And I think this is like very opportune to kind of go, we need to probably reassess our policies. We do it on an annual basis anyway when you review your handbook, but it just shows you that there's more and more reason why you need to make sure, okay, what's our communication tool? Like a lot of companies now have email databases where they can email colleagues if something urgent needs to be done, because most people get paid via email, you know, their payslip, etc. WhatsApp, we're seeing, you know, kick into gear for that purpose as well. But remember, you can only use it for the purpose that it was designed. So if it's a case that, you know, you've agreed with the employees, you're only getting their data to do something specific, you can't use it for other things. But definitely, yeah. Jerry, I think communication and making sure you're proactive once you know that there's an issue at all, you're doing something proactive about it. I think we're definitely going to see the need for more of that, and definitely remote working, people taking their laptops home, you know, if there's any issue, you know, and that there might be a risk linked to being able to come in, etc., you know, having good broadband at home, all those kind of things, you know, being proactive definitely pays off.
Yeah. Okay, Caroline, so we're out of time. Thanks so much again for a great slot. We'll be back with you next month on that. That's Caroline Reedy there with us on the line. If you have any queries, get them into us now. We'll pass them on to her for this time next month.